This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center for the week of October 20th through October 27th, 2006.
Israeli forces kill 11 Palestinians this week as efforts to broker a deal between Fatah and Hamas continue. Meanwhile, the leader of an extreme right-wing group who adopted a very hard line against the Palestinians is given a seat on the Israeli cabinet as Minister of Strategic Threats. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned.
Let's begin our weekly report with this week's peaceful action against the annexation wall and other stories in the West Bank. This week's protest at Bilyin saw one of its biggest demonstrations for months, with 400 to 500 Palestinian, Israeli, and international protesters attending to carry out a nonviolent protest against the annexation wall, which is dividing the village of Bilyin. It was widely known throughout the activist community that this week was to be a large protest, and it seemed widely known to the army as well. As the protesters made their way towards the wall, to be met by armed soldiers with protection shields and jeeps. The reactions by the soldiers were harsh, with violent outbursts of tear gas and sound bombs. Several protesters found themselves subjected to tear gas while caught between two rows of razor wire, unable to escape. The protesters were pushed back by the soldiers and followed with tear gas as they retreated. Several Israelis were arrested, protesters were beaten with truncheons, and even an ambulance was targeted with tear gas, as this international activist, Karen, explains.
The soldiers were incredibly aggressive, I think unnecessarily so, because it was really a very peaceful protest. The firing of the tear gas canister at the ambulance is a violation of the Third Geneva Convention that says the sick and wounded will be collected and cared for, so it's a war crime. There was no disorder. The disorder was caused by the Israeli soldiers who attacked a peaceful crowd of people who were protesting the construction of that illegal apartheid wall.
The violence at this week's peaceful protest did not go unnoticed, though, with several media outlets attending, including the BBC.
As Muslims across Palestine celebrated the holiday of Al-Fitr, Israeli forces killed 14 in the West Bank and Gaza Strip during invasions into residential areas. Rafah crossing point opens, then closes again, perhaps this time for good. The Israeli military allowed the Rafah crossing point to open for 2 days this week before closing it again. Thousands of people who had been stranded on either side of the border for weeks were able to cross, among them the Minister of the Interior, Syed Saiman. Saiman had been threatened with expulsion for his recent visits to Iran and Syria. During a meeting with the European Union High Representative, Javier Solanay, Israeli Deputy Prime Minister Shimon Peres said Israel will not open the crossing again until Palestinian militias stop using homemade shells against Israeli targets. Solanay described the measure as an act of collective punishment. In the same week, the Israeli cabinet proposed the reoccupation of the Philadelphia route on Gaza's border with Egypt. Israel had previously withdrawn from both the Rafah crossing point and the Philadelphia route as part of its well-televised unilateral disengagement from the Gaza Strip just over a year ago. Despite Gaza's residents' high hopes for peace at the time, they have been under constant Israeli bombardment since June of this year. This week alone, Israeli troops killed 10 Palestinians in attacks on Gaza's neighbourhoods, bringing the death toll to 321 since June the 25th. Dr. Mohammed Sultan of Kamal Adwan Hospital in the Gaza Strip.
Based on our knowledge regarding injuries and their types, these injuries were done through sniping that hit sensitive body parts, mainly chest, head, and abdomen.
Emilio Morentani, a Spanish AP photographer working in Gaza, was kidnapped by unidentified Palestinian gunmen this Tuesday. He was freed 13 hours later and handed over to Palestinian security officials. On the other hand, a deal is about to be reached regarding a swap of prisoners between the Palestinian Authority and Israel. Israel proposed that the resistance groups release the captured Israeli soldier, Gilad Shalit, in exchange for an Israeli promise to release Palestinian prisoners. Hamas, on the other hand, said it would not accept promises and demanded a simultaneous release of prisoners and Shalit. The Israeli Minister of Infrastructure and Labour Party leader, Benjamin Ben Eliza, who was directly involved in negotiating the deal through Egyptian mediators, said he believes the soldier will be released soon. A Hamas spokesperson in the Gaza Strip, Fawzi Bahoum, said all the destruction Israel caused in Gaza will never release Shalit.
We anticipate that the Zionist occupation has definitely begun to live a crisis in light of not releasing Gilad Shalit after Israeli has killed 300 Palestinians, detaining 1,500 others, and demolished homes. Consequently, the Israeli occupation has resulted to diplomacy, as Ben Eliezer might agree principally to such offers. Thus, we are looking forward to hearing an Israeli response.
Karen Abu Zayed, the General Commissioner of the United Nations Relief and Works Agency in Gaza, called on the international community to take action against the Israeli military's destruction of Palestinian homes and livelihoods. Abu Zayed's statements came during her visit to Beit Hanuna, the industrial centre of Gaza, which Israel has virtually destroyed in successive invasions. Abu Zayed said the city had endured total destruction and promised to increase UN aid to the city.
The Israeli army conducted several invasions into West Bank cities and villages this week, during which several Palestinians were killed and injured. In a pre-dawn invasion this Friday, the Israeli army killed three Palestinians in El Faraa refugee camp in El Yamun village, near the West Bank city of Jenin. In El Yamun, Ahmed Abul Hassan, 28, was killed by a bullet to the head when he went out of his home to get medical aid for his wounded brother. Two of Abdul Hassan's brothers were wounded in the gunfire. In El Faraa refugee camp between Nablus and Jenin, Israeli troops killed Fadi Subuh, 27, and Mustafa Jaber, 19. The circumstances of the shooting were not clear, but eyewitnesses said the two youth may have been throwing stones at the armored jeeps before they were shot dead. In one invasion into the village of Tamun near Jenin, Israeli army killed Adel Yusuf Abu Arish, age 22, a resistance fighter with the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, the armed wing of Fatah. 17 more were injured, and soldiers also abducted 4 residents, including 3 brothers. Israeli soldiers have abducted 1,500 residents since the capture of the Israeli soldier by the Palestinian resistance last June. As the olive harvest began this week, Palestinian farmers across the West Bank flocked to their orchards only to find them out of reach, behind the annexation wall or near the settlements. Many farmers were denied entry to their olive groves by Israeli soldiers guarding the wall, while others were attacked by settlers while attempting to harvest. These two factors threatened to have a drastic effect on the harvest akin to that of a natural disaster. In one incident, at least 50 Israeli settlers attacked and stoned Palestinian farmers outside Nablus, injuring 3. Several West Bank farmers have complained of military negligence as Israeli soldiers turn a blind eye to settler attacks against them.
Egyptian and Qatari officials held follow-up meetings with Khaled Mashal, head of the Hamas Politburo, hoping to find some common ground between Hamas and Fatah leaders. Mashal had previously met with the Emir of Qatar, Sheikh Hamad bin Khalifa Al Thani, as well as Amir Suleiman, head of Egyptian intelligence, about the possibility of forming a national unity government. Hamas officials said meetings would continue in Cairo and that officials of Hamas and Fatah hope to finalise an agreement in the coming weeks. Meanwhile, most Palestinians, who were hoping to receive a fraction of their salaries this Eid al-Fitr holiday, were left empty-handed as EU pledges of aid failed to materialise. Meanwhile, Palestinian security men blocked Gaza City's main streets to protest and threatened to stage up their protest if the wages are not paid by Saturday. Following the protest, Palestinian Interior Minister Saeed Sayam had promised the security forces a $50 holiday allowance. The financial crisis in the Palestinian Authority has resulted in clashes in the streets of Gaza. Youssef Rizka, Palestinian Minister of Information, said cooperation between the presidency and the government is needed to overcome this problem.
The question is that the Western siege complicates the matter, and the official Arab role is weak as far as finding a solution to the issue, despite the ability to do so if there is a will. Therefore, I can say personally that the solution lies in a unified position by the government and the presidency, by pressuring both the Arab and world regimes to transfer salaries, and that is possible and not that difficult.
At least 165,000 Palestinian employees have not received their salaries for the 8th month due to the economic blockade imposed on the Palestinian Authority by the United States, the European Union, and Israel.
A As part of his Mideast tour, Javier Solana, the European Union High Representative for Common Foreign and Security Policy, met with President Mahmoud Abbas in his Ramallah office. The two discussed ways of reviving the stalled Middle East peace process. Solana had already met with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert in Jerusalem. He had also met with Avigdor Lieberman, head of Yisrael Biteina, Israel Our Home, an extreme right-wing Zionist party that advocates the removal of the Palestinian citizens of Israel from the country. Lieberman had just been appointed a seat on the Israeli cabinet as Minister of Strategic Threats. Arab members of the Israeli Knesset called Solana to express their dismay of this meeting. One of the main reasons for the boycott imposed by the United States, European Union, and Israel against the Palestinian Authority is the hard line that Hamas has against Israel. There are around 1.2 million Palestinians who live in Israel, constituting almost 20% of the population there. Those Palestinians have acquired Israeli citizenship after Israel was established in 1948. Those Palestinians are the ones who managed to remain in their land after the Israeli gangs of Haganah, Stern, and the Irgun expelled some 700,000 Palestinians in 1948. Solana's Mideast tour will continue in Lebanon, Jordan, and Egypt.
And that's just some of the news for this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website, www.imemc.org. As always, thanks for joining us. From Occupy Bethlehem, this is Imogen Kimber,
Keisha Kay,
and Ghassan Banoura.